Say what you will for the year 2020. It has produced some outstanding memes. Included in that would be a long list of memes that say things like, "If 2020 was a slide," and then it shows a kid on a playground about to slide down a cheese grater. Or, "If 2020 was a person," and it shows Kathy Bates in Misery, holding the sledgehammer and about to swing. One that really made me laugh was, "If 2020 was a pie." The picture with it was Octavia Spencer in The Help holding the pie made from poo. So yeah, there have been a lot of funny memes, and laughing or crying is sometimes all we can do. One thing to keep in mind is that a lot of this stuff is transient. A lot of things are always changing. Hopefully, by this time next year, COVID-19 stuff will be in our rearview mirror. Fortunately, we have a good many positive, more permanent things upon which to focus. People are catching fish because each and every year, the salmon return to our rivers and streams. We have an abundance of migratory birds around us because each and every year, migratory birds leave us in the fall and come back in the spring. We have a lot of daylight hours in which to get things done because each and every year, our summer days lengthen and bless us with lots of light. And some of the permanent stuff is much smaller. Perhaps we don't even really take notice, which is a shame because it's still really important stuff. I'm talking particularly, in this case, about pollinators. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. This week, from the 22nd through the 28th, is National Pollinator Week. I talked about this last year at this time, but my employer, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, has been making a push to make sure people know, so I'm going to revisit it this year too. Perhaps the timing is good for talking about pollinators again. A few weeks back, I talked about Asian giant hornets, which take out huge populations of bees. Bees are some of our most important pollinators, though they're far from the only ones. And many bee species are experiencing large-scale declines anyway, so a bunch of huge, murderous hornets sure aren't helping matters. Will the hornets gain a foothold in America? Or will we be able to stomp them out? At this point, who knows? But I digress. Let's delve into pollinators. A pollinator is an animal that causes plants to make fruit or seeds. They do this by moving pollen from one part of the flower of a plant to another part. This pollen then fertilizes the plant. Only fertilized plants can make fruit and or seeds. Without this, the plants can't reproduce. So, you might be asking yourself, why is that important to your daily living situation? Think of it this way. Did you get a cup of coffee from the Tide table today? Well, for those living in Dillingham, well, no bees or flies, no coffee. Or maybe you had a banana with breakfast. You can thank a bird or a fruit bat for that. Here's a big one. Chocolate. Made possible by stingless bees and midges. There are even products by extension. For example, I love milk. A major food for cattle is alfalfa, which is pollinated by bees. Not every single plant requires animal intervention to get pollinated, but there's a lot of them that do. It's estimated that pollinators are needed for 3/4 of our major food crops. Without the helping hand pollinators provide, or legs actually, our diets would be a very different thing indeed. Probably the critter that comes to mind the most for those who think of pollination is the honeybee. I have some fuzzy image of something like a 4th grade science book, way back when, with a diagram of pollination and a picture of a honeybee committing the act. The list is, in fact, much longer than that. In addition to bees, there's also an array of insects to include butterflies, beetles, and flies. Beyond insects, many birds and some bats are also critical pollinators. Again, it's a long list. Let's take a look at pollinators in Alaska, with the information coming via the U.S. Department of Agriculture. According to them, the primary pollinators across the last frontier include bumblebees, sweat bees, andronid bees, called mining bees by some, hawk moths, wasps, and a Euro import. the European honeybee. There are 23 species of bumblebee found in Alaska, and about twice that across the rest of the United States. Bumblebees are excellent pollinators, and especially of a number of Alaska berry species, which should make them downright celebrated by most people. So the next time you're screeching at a bumblebee at an outdoor gathering, while taking evasive maneuvers and looking for a magazine to roll up, maybe stop and rethink things. You have berry bushes as common ground. Bumblebees are social insects and build their nests in a variety of places to include abandoned rodent burrows, empty bird nests, discarded mattresses, manure piles, and the walls of old buildings. It's a true monarchy, as the queen survives the winter in the soil, while the rest of the colony perishes in the cold of winter. Come spring, she establishes a nest and gets busy laying eggs. The first to hatch are sterile female worker bees, followed by drones, the males, and fertile females, to keep the lineage going. The sole function of the drone is to make sure those fertile females can do exactly that. There are another 20 species of mining bees across Alaska, and they look quite a bit like bumblebees in both size and shape. Mining bees are solitary and don't form large, socially organized nests, though they will nest in close proximity to each other. Most springs that I've been at the refuge, we have quite a bit of mining bee nesting activity in the small island of grass and gravel in front of our office. They dig single nest in the soil. They too should reap the adulation of an adoring public, whereas they are important pollinators of blueberries. Keep that in mind. The next time you're out picking those blueberries, think to yourself, thank you, little mining bee. Hawk moth is something of a general term for a group of moths. Some of the largest moths in the world belong to that group. Hawk moths have long, narrow wings and thick bodies. They are fast, acrobatic flyers, and many species can hover in place, something like a hummingbird. They also have ninja-level skills when it comes to finding sweet-smelling flowers after dark. A unique adaptation is that they have the world's longest tongues, as far as moths or butterflies go. How long? Some can have tongues over a foot in length. They can fly at speeds of up to 12 miles per hour and have wingspans as large as nearly 4 inches. Wasps pull double duty where pollination is concerned. How's that? Not only do some wasps act as pollinators themselves, particularly for fruits and vegetables, but some species are also predators that feed on small insects that are detrimental to agricultural crops. In Alaska, this is particularly true of aphids and caterpillars. Of course, the list of pollinators around the globe is a very large list indeed, as I said earlier. In case you're wondering, and I often wonder about stuff like this, the world's largest pollinator is the black and white ruffed lemur, found on the island of Madagascar. These primates can be as much as nearly 4 feet long, counting their tail, and weigh close to 10 pounds. They serve as pollinators, the primary pollinator in fact, for a tree called the traveler's tree. They open up the flower and reach in with their long snout and tongue. While they are eating, the pollen they brush up against gets stuck on their fur and carried to where it needs to go. I made a point of saying last year that if you're like me, when you picture a lemur, what you're probably hearing in your head is King Julian on the movie Madagascar. Hey, Maurice, help me pollinate this tree. So, this week has been and is National Pollinator Week. There's still a couple of days left. It's a time to celebrate pollinators and spread the word about them and what can be done to protect them. It's like many things I talk about on here. Probably those protections aren't a big thing in Alaska, but it's something to really be thinking about in the lower 48. If pollinators have been off your radar for, like, forever, it's a chance to learn that they exist and the important work they do. How important? 13 years ago, the U.S. Senate unanimously approved the designation of a week in June as National Pollinator Week to address the urgent issue of declining pollinator populations. That in itself is somewhat stunning. When was the last time you heard unanimous and Senate in the same sentence? We often hear about when big things, large organisms, get displaced by a growing urban world. Well, sadly, the same thing is happening to pollinators, And now they have other threats emerging as well, such as murder hornets. My hope today in hearing this is that you realize just a little bit how important pollinators are as you finish off that banana or take a swig of your Tide Table coffee. Last year, right before Pollinators Week, I came across a poster online about bees and wasps and such. It had 8 species and it was titled, Comprehensive Guide to Yellow Stripey Things. Perhaps you've seen it, perhaps not. If not, I'm not suggesting it's 100% scientifically accurate, but it is really funny. For example, about yellow jackets, it says the following. Wants your food and will fight you for it. Never leaves you alone. Will sting you just for the heck of it. Is just a jerk. If you haven't seen that poster, take a look at the Togiak Refuge Facebook page. I shared it on there earlier this week. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.